sing that song and I just breathe in and out, and you just think, God, this is yours. You did this. You allowed me to take that breath. And then the next one, and then the next one. And each one of them is His. He provides it and He allows us to take it. There's no better use of it than to sing our praises to show how much we love Him. I think that's the purpose that He made us for, right? That's what, to love and worship Him forever. How many of you ever heard this quote? Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I may remember. Involve me and I learn. You ever heard that quote before? It's attributed to a lot of different people, so we're not really sure exactly where it came from. It's often used in education, and it's a great understanding that learning is more about experience than information transfer. And I believe that this truth is real for our spiritual life as well, for our faith. You take that love that I talked about, for example. Not everyone knows that this breath is from God, that He loves us and that He gives us life and that He has made us to love and worship Him. Not everybody knows that. Now, they can know love. There is a natural form of love. The Bible describes it as phileo or eros. Those are natural loves that everybody can have. The brotherly love, the affectionate, the romantic love, those things everybody can have. We can feel the emotion of love and even sacrifice for those that we love this way. See, everybody, or most people, see their children born and they're automatically drawn to love them. We see our spouse and we just feel those flutters in our heart. A lot of this love, though, this natural love, depends on how we feel and the pleasure we derive from the object of our love. See, you'll love your spouse until they start acting all crazy, and then that love fades, right? We'll love our neighbors until they build that fence on our property line or across our property line, and then, you know, we got to get the police involved. We'll love our children until they're an inconvenience. It's the reality of abortion and foster care in our world today, that there are people that look at their children and say, you're more of an inconvenience than my love for you, and so because I don't feel that way anymore, I've got to do away with you. The reality of that form of love is that it's formed by culture and society, that everybody within that culture is capable of. But it's also circumstantial. That love's circumstantial. See, it's not until that we are wrapped up in the love of God, which is exhibited through the sacrifice of Jesus, that we can truly love the way God designed us to love, with agape, this selfless, Christ-like love that seeks the good of others more than the good of us, no matter the cost. It's a love of choice. Worldly love is a response to the beauty or the benefit we find in someone else. But the love of God, agape, is the pursuit of someone else's good, no matter their worthiness. This kind of love is impossible for the person that has not experienced saving grace, saving faith in Jesus, because agape is wrapped up in who God is. 1 John 4:15-16 says it this way. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is agape. Is love. Now, that's not all God is, because we can get that twisted when we just think this is all God is love. But agape is who He is, the essence of who He is. But it's not enough to be told that. that it's not enough for me to just tell you God is love. It's not even enough to walk through the beauty of these scriptures and learn all the ways that God is love, as we've seen it personified in Jesus. It's not enough to be taught that God is love. No, to produce agape ourselves, we must personally experience the supernatural love of Jesus that comes by grace through faith. We got to come to a point where we feel that supernatural embrace of our Savior, where we are filled with His Spirit. Romans 5:5 says it this way: God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. His love is poured into our hearts by the Spirit of God. It is being intimately wrapped up and indwelled by the Spirit of love that we truly begin to agape those around us, exhibiting the selfless, others-focused love of God to those around us. And we can only do that because He first loved us. That's what 1 John 4:19 says. We love because He first loved us. How did He love us? How did He love us? He sent us His Son. He sent us a love letter written in the blood of His Son. See, the gospel enables true selfless love. When we come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus in the gospel, then we can begin to exhibit that love to others. That's the truth of this, right? If we have experienced the love of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, then we must love the way that we have experienced love. We must return this love out into the world from us. Now let me ask you, is that the way you love? Is your love selfless? Is it seeking to do good for others, even your enemies? Or is it conditional? I'll love you if you love me, if you benefit me in some way. Brothers and sisters, the world is full of hate, right? I may not agree with their lifestyle, but I was reading through my email today and saw a headline where somebody went to a gay bar and shot the place up and killed multiple people. Last week, a former player at the University of Virginia went to the university and killed 3 University of Virginia players and injured others. Every day you look at the news, you can see the hate in this world, and that is not something that we should be a part of. But I see it in Facebook comments about college football. Like, there's not enough hate going on in the world that we got to add to it by who we like or dislike in the football arena. We're to be known by our love. The world needs to see the kind of love that is not self-serving and temporary. Because that love is fleeting. It's not enough to just be kind every once in a while or loving every once in a while to those that love you back. The lost around us, the people that are lost in the darkness of this world, need to see us be loving all the time, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. That's why this is one of the core values of our church. It says we love all people because we believe they were created in God's image. We show love by sharing the gospel, sharing our lives, and meeting the needs of others. And I rejoice that we do this so well. I saw about 15 brothers yesterday go and show up and build a ramp for a young man that's had just terrible health for a long time. 36, 37 years old, diagnosed with ALS and now confined to a mechanical wheelchair. And these men gathered together, giving of their time for a man most of them didn't even know, to build some ramps so that he could enjoy his backyard with his family and he can get into his house without having all kinds of issues. That is what we should be known for, right? For so long and so often, Christianity is known for what we hate, and we do hate sin, but we love those that are lost in it because we know we were once just like them. And then in so many ways, sin still wins in our lives. So we show love because we've experienced it from God. And without that love, without our expression of it, those that are lost will never see it. And this is what Jesus commanded, right? He said this just sums up the whole law. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and prophets." Jesus doesn't leave wiggle room. He doesn't say love is important. He says it's mandatory. If you will fulfill the law of God, you must love God and love others. There must be the powerful vertical love with God that then spreads out into the horizontal of all those around us. Yet this, agape, is impossible without Christ because each of us is born into sin. Each of us is born into sin. Psalm 51:5, David says it this way. He speaks of the reality for every human. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It is sin that corrupts our hearts and bends us away from the love that we are meant to have. It bends us towards the emotional, the temporary, and selfish love. It bends us away from real love, away from Christ-like love. In our sin, we are caught up in us. We become our own God. We make the rules. We seek everything that is pleasurable to us. See that, and yet the command to love remains. He says that loving God and loving others fulfills the law. He says you got to love this way, and how can we possibly do it? This I know, God never commands us to do something that he does not empower us to do. He's never written one command that he has not given the power to do. We can do this, we can agape, because he has agaped us. He has conquered sin in us and freed us to live out this law of love. That leads us to our scripture today. The way that he did this, the love that was demonstrated. Romans 8, 3 and 4. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do. If not, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. If there's not, just tap somebody on the shoulder. They'll grab one out of their pew. Scripture will also be on the screen in the English Standard Version. Romans 8, 3 through 4. It says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Let us pray together. Father in heaven, your love is beyond our comprehension, but we rejoice that we can at least experience and be wrapped up in part of it. God, I pray that as we are here that we see the beauty of this scripture, the beauty of the love that you have for us, a love unlike any other, a love unlike any that we will ever experience apart from Jesus. God, I pray that this love will not just be something that we're told today. It won't be something that we're just taught today, but it will be something that each and every person here experiences as they hear the great lengths that you have gone to love us and to show that love for us. That your Spirit will move in their hearts and pour that love in. help us to love the way we have been loved. Help us to understand that we can, even in the most difficult of circumstances, because you first loved us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul tells us in verse 3 that God does something that the law cannot do. See, the law could never save us. The law could never make us loving. The law could never change our hearts. It could only reveal the depravity of our hearts as we failed to uphold the law that was written there. And yet God has done something through Jesus that the law could not do. He condemned sin in the flesh. He sent His Son into the world to be born in human flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh, right? He had no sin, and so that's what the likeness of sinful flesh means there. He looked like us, and He experienced what we did, but He was without sin. And yet even in that reality, in the love of God, without sin, Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for our sin. That is love. See, this scripture shows us that Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. He lived perfectly. He loved God and loved others every step of the way. And that's the gospel. He did this for us. The law showed us we were sinners. God said, you can't do anything about it, and so I'm going to send one that can do something about it. I'm going to send my Son who's going to take your sin, and He's going to die for it, and He's going to rise on the third day. This is the whole of the gospel. The essence of God's love is wrapped up in this truth. Our holy God, in love, sent His Son to rescue us from His holy wrath by pouring it out on His beloved Son. Beyond the reality of what He did, that this was the redemption plan forever. Before He created one of us, He knew what was going to have to happen. It wasn't a surprise to Him that Adam and Eve fell in the garden. It wasn't a surprise that each of us is born into sin, that we choose to transgress His law. He knew that you were going to be born a sinner, and yet still He sent His Son to die for you. He knew that sin would bend us away from true love, but He knew that His love, His agape, would overcome sin in us and restore our ability to love. His plan all along was to rescue you from His wrath through His Son Jesus, coming to justify us. Father knew He would rise again. He knew He would rise again, but He also knew that for the first time in eternity, for the first time, He would have to look away from His Son as He poured out the wrath for sin on Him, that there would be a disconnect between them, that His beloved would have to be condemned as sin. And He did it anyway. He did it anyway for love. Through love. There was no sparing. For love, this sacrifice was made. And the reality is, had Jesus not died as sin in our place, we would not be able to love God or others. Jesus could have come and He could have lived that perfect life and He could have taught us all the things that we need to do to live it out. But had He not gone to the cross, we would still be just as lost today as we were before we had a true encounter with Him. Sin had to be paid for. This is a love beyond my comprehension. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were His enemies, while we were those that rebelled against Him, He sent His Son to die for us. That is why I can't understand it, because there's on that mop of a head, on that hair on that kid's head, I wouldn't hurt one of them to save anybody else. And yet while we were His enemies, God sent His Son to die for us. He planned for that to happen. I cannot fathom that love, but I so rejoice in it. That's how much he loves us. He sent him to die for us, not just so we could be saved, but as verse 4 says, so that we could no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that we can no longer be sinfully bent away from love, but fully embraced and capable of agape. That we no longer would be wrapped up in the fleshly love that loves selfishly, but that we would be wrapped up in the spiritual love that loves selflessly. He knew that Jesus dying on the cross was the only way that this would happen, the only way that we could be justified, the only way to make us right and lovely before God. And I hope that you understand that, that through faith in Jesus, when you stand before the Father, he's going to look at you and see you as Christ, holy and lovely. And he'll say, come on in, my child. But he doesn't only do that. He doesn't only promise that. He says that in the here and now, in the Spirit, you're going to walk in that, and each and every day you should become becoming more and more like his beloved Son. That's the process of sanctification. That we, through the power of Christ's sacrifice, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can now walk in a way that daily fulfills the righteous requirement of the law, that we can love God and love others because he first loved us and sent his Son to die for us. Justification means we're no longer condemned. Sanctification means that we are now free to live as God intended for us to live, that he created us to live. We no longer have to live when sin calls us to hate. We are free to live a life of love, a life of agape. Ephesians 2 says that we are to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That is what we are to do, that we are to live this life in love. That's what we owe to those around us. And we owe that because we've experienced it. It's what Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. That's all you owe anybody, is your selfless love. But it is what you owe those around you. See, Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. But that doesn't mean that it's not applicable. It's now written on our hearts. And we're to walk in that each and every day to love God and to love others. And this isn't just a one-time thing. This isn't just live in the comfort of your bubble where you just love your family and that's all it takes. This is a love that is supposed to spread out from you to all those around you. This is a life of love that God has called us to, that he said we would do greater things than him. And the greater things would, that our love and his love would spread through us greater and greater, more broadly than it ever could if he had remained here, that by the power of his Spirit, we would live in this love. Love that costs us more than we would ever give ourselves. A life of love that is an attempt to live out what God did in sending his Son for us. Your love, our love, is a reflection of God's love for us. That's the ideal. That's what it's supposed to be, that when you love others, they understand how much God loves them. That when they see you loving those that are hard to love, when they see you loving through different difficult circumstance, when they see the love that you have, that they can say there's something in them, and they can say it must be the love of God as we vocalize it is because of God, that they can be drawn to him. He says they will know you by your love. 1 John 4:12 says it this way. No one has ever seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. We can't see him. We couldn't possibly in this sinful body in the here and now ever see him and live. Nobody's ever seen him. But he goes on. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. They say nobody can see God, but they can see him in the way you love. You see him in the way you love. And we can do this. It is possible to love this way because of Christ, through the Spirit. We can do this. And I see people doing it all around us. I see people day in and day out doing this. See, one of the greatest examples of agape is in the selfless love of adoption and fostering. You talk about the heart of God. I believe this is so close to what we're supposed to live each and every day. The same love that we're supposed to have, because it's the love that He has for us. It's a love of choice in choosing to walk the difficult road, to open our hearts to the heartache that comes, but saying, no matter what, come on, because I'm going to love you anyway. It's what He did. It's a reflection of His love for us. Ephesians 1:5 says, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. That's what He wanted. When you were saved, Jesus said, come be a part of my family. I love you. I died for you. Now come be a part of the family. Just as Jesus chose to sacrificially love and give His life for us so that we could be adopted into the family of God, those that foster and adopt here on earth choose to love these children with a selfless love. It's got to be selfless, because the system that it's built around is sinfully broken and corrupted. Foster and adoptive parents continually die to themselves so that these precious children can experience, for whatever time they are with them, short or long, the agape of Jesus, that they can experience love that they have been deprived of by those that should have loved them most. And as these loving families open their homes and hearts to these children in desperate need of love, God's love pours out over and over on them, continually empowering them to live out the love that He has given them. And I want you to hear that from them. And so I've asked Becky and Sam Crouch if they would talk about this journey through adoption and fostering that they have walked, how they've experienced God's love. And I'm so glad Sam was willing to do this, because I think our students need to hear, come on. Our students need to hear that, and families need to hear that this is a challenge for everyone, but that the love of God can help each part of the family live through that. We don't have a microphone there, right? I got one. I got it. Oh.
Good morning. I'm Becky Crouch. Our family started our foster care adoption story a long time ago. We always felt called to adopt. We just said adoption, not fostering. When they came to us, they were ours. They weren't going anywhere. They were just staying with us. And so we prayed about it, and, you know, it's not the right time. We're going to wait. Then we got asked several years later about possibly adopting a private baby privately, and so we started that journey, and God closed that door, and we were heartbroken. But we knew that God had bigger plans. He still wanted us to pursue this. So we started our DSS journey, again, only to adopt. We weren't, you know, no, God, we're not interested in fostering. We only want to adopt. We want to keep them. So after we got licensed for our adoption story, we got matched with a little boy. He wasn't legally free, so we had to go through the foster care part. We're like, it's just paperwork. We never intend to foster. It'll be okay. Well, God had other plans. He felt that our family needed to foster. So we got our little fella the Friday before the world shut down for COVID. So we started in with him, and we kept getting calls every day, it seemed like, for weeks. About, can you please take this child? Can you please take that child? And we kept saying, we're not really interested in fostering. We just got this one. And so then it grew bigger and bigger on our hearts, and we prayed about it as a family and talked. And we're like, yeah, okay, maybe we should, you know, we're licensed for three. We can take at least one more. So me trying to justify it to myself, I said, but God, you know, we only want like a 3-year-old or younger because that's all that's going to fit with our family. Well, you know, God's sense of humor. Within 24 hours, we had a call. We need you to take this 3-year-old. And within 48 hours, he was at our doorstep. And he's still with us today. That's been almost 3 years ago, and he officially got adopted last month. So pretty exciting. But through that, we've had about 6 kids in or out of our house, some for a short time, some for a long time, some for a few months. But we have learned that through God's grace, we're able to show that love to them because I need it. I mess up every day, and God still loves me and shows me grace. Those behaviors, those biological family visits, those court dates, just all require God's grace for me and me to show that to that child. That child didn't ask to go through what they went through. So that helps me remember on all those days I've called Greg and said, today's the day we quit. He said, no, it's not. Pray, go to bed, tomorrow's a new day. So we wake up and start all over again. So even though the children might only be with us a short time, we know that it's our plan for 2 weeks, a weekend, whatever it may be, that we show them love and what a family love and what God's love really is. Not everyone may be called to foster, and that's okay, but there is always a place. Pray for the court system. As Patrick said, it's broken. Pray for the biological families. They're struggling. I can't imagine what it would be like for somebody to take my child. Even though not knowing whether they're safe, not knowing who they're with, I can't imagine what that would be like. So pray for those families because they're struggling. Pray for the DSS workers. They have a hard job. They need to be loved on just as much as anybody else. Pray for foster families. Get involved. Fix meals. Whatever you can do, whatever you feel called to do, get involved and love on these kids. Invest in them. They're pretty awesome kids. They might have several layers to peel back and some behaviors that you're just like, oh, wow, I don't know about. But they have a lot of love. They just don't know how to show it.
Once we started taking in kids, it was rough and struggles came. COVID hit, and adding new kids to our family during that time was very difficult on the whole family. It was very frustrating because every week DSS would have to come to the house and do visits. But God kept working on me throughout all of this. What they have been through isn't their fault, and they just need a good family to teach them and invest in them. God has created our family from the brokenness of other people, but God has been with me and my family through all the ups and downs. He has shown me that it's okay for people to look at us differently because we always have a new kid that is just coming or going. But I have figured out that even though through the hard places, God has a bigger plan for all of us.
Becky said, we don't all have to foster or adopt, but we can all play a part in the love journeys of those that do. We have several ways that you can do that here at Harmony. We started Harmony Family Care as a way to support and encourage those that are fostering and adoptive around us. And so these are groups that right now we have 3 foster families that we do this for, and so there's teams that you can be a part of, and we want to expand this because there are way more than that in Chester County and York County that need somebody to support them and encourage them. Most foster families don't last very long. Do you know? Yeah, so 50% don't last more than a year. And that means these kids go right back into the system, right back into homes that may not love them, right back into facilities, and they never get to experience that love. And so what we've seen with Harmony Family Care is that as we come alongside them, we can help that statistic change because they know they're not alone. So if you want to be a part of one of those teams, Courtney Bowling is over it, and you can talk to me, and we can get you information on that. So it's just taking a meal once a week, helping with child care, sending a note, just checking on them and helping them know that they're not alone. If you'd want to do that, I would really like to talk to you about it or get you in touch with Courtney. And I said not everybody's called to do it, but maybe in this moment God is calling you to do it. Maybe God's saying, this is something that you need to do. You need to foster or adopt one of these children. And statistically, if one couple from every church in America adopted a child, there would be no children in foster care right now. Right? So there's a lot of churches that aren't doing any because we got two or three in our church that are doing this. But maybe God's saying that you need to do it. If God's calling you, when we have this time of response, I just want you to seek his face and commit to figuring out what your next step needs to be in fostering or adopting one of these children. More than anything, I want you to share the gospel, because here's the reality. As soon as we eliminated the number that were in there because of the sinful brokenness of people, there'd be another one that went in there. Right? And then another one, then another one. They're just hour by hour, there are children that are put into these situations. But if we can reach people with the gospel of Jesus, if they can experience the love of Jesus, then we can help shape the fact that these families are so broken and draw them into the love of God so that maybe that next one won't go in because they've been saved by grace through faith. Finally, we have a chance to love on the foster children of Chester County this Christmas, those that are in DSS with Chester County. Our small groups have adopted kids for Christmas, but if you're not in a small group, or even if you are and your family wants to help with another child, we've got a list. There are, how many are left? There are 8 children. We had 42 total. And so through our small groups and through the earlier service, we've only got 8 left. So if you want to sponsor one of them, Becky's got their names down here and their Christmas list. If you'd like to do that, if you'll see her after the service so that we can help them experience love this Christmas season. Brothers and sisters, we have experienced extravagant love from Jesus. So we can now love extravagantly. I hope you'll join us in that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I rejoice in the love that you have shown us and the love that you have called us to show. God, knowing that you empower it and knowing that there is such a great need. God, I look at, in my mind's eye in this moment, these children that I know that have been in foster care or been adopted, and see their precious faces who have done nothing to end up where they are. They've done nothing to be deprived of love. And I know, God, that we got to do something about that. And so I just pray for the hearts of those that have gathered here that have been adopted by you, God, into your family, that they, though they were sinners, though they had done something to be excluded from your family, that you loved them enough to overcome that and to adopt them. And so I pray that those that have experienced that love will see these little faces and little hearts and desire to pour your love into them. Great travesty, God, that we have given the government control of this, and that so many are put in places or caught up in a system that will not allow them to see love. So God, I pray for reform in that. I pray that churches will be what you've called them to be, that the church members, each one that makes up the church, that they will have a heart to do what you have called us to do, what you have said is pure religion, to look after widows and orphans in their need. God, will you make that take root in our hearts and move us to live it out? I pray, God, for the one that might be here today that's not been adopted by you yet, that your Spirit is calling and saying, come to me. Let me pour this love into your heart, that they have experienced the understanding of the law, that they are sinners, that they have chosen sin, and that there is nothing. They are helpless to do anything about it, but at the same time, that the love of God through your Spirit is being poured into their heart so that they can confess that Jesus is Lord, that they can believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead, that they can repent of their sins and walk with Jesus as King the rest of their lives. May that take place today, God. And if it does, let them come forward that we can rejoice with them. Great are you, God. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. During our response, the altar will be open if you need to come and pray about what God would have you to do in the lives of these foster children. I pray you'll come forward if you need to come forward and say, I've been adopted into the family of God through salvation that comes through Jesus. If you come forward and let us know. And if you want to join Harmony Baptist Church, either start the process or finish the process, if you'd come forward and let that be known, please stand as we sing.